The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In order for us to understand the depth of this statement and to realize what it means in our lives, we're going to have to dive deeply into the Old Testament and see how the Spirit itself has been throughout all of Scripture, prophesied to be with us and to guide us, as Isaiah has said today and as John proclaimed so boldly. So we go back to the very beginning. In the very beginning, God's Spirit hovered over the chaos of waters. And that Spirit that hovered over the waters was powerful enough that when God spoke, His very words, another emanation of the Spirit, made everything that is. God speaking, the very Spirit itself, created the entirety of the world. As we go further, we get to the point where they're in Egypt. And while they're in Egypt, Moses leads the crowd out, and they get to the Red Sea. And there, God breathed over the waters all night long. Breath, air, spirit, wind. He breathed. His Spirit went across the waters, parting them, separating them, that the Israelites may go across. They get to Sinai. And here at Sinai, God's Spirit came to rest upon Moses so he could lead the people. He could teach them. He could show them what God can do. But even more than that, it was so bold of a proclamation, so immense that the Spirit came upon him that he glowed. And they all freaked out because he glowed. So they said, put a veil on yourself because we don't like it. But this is the power of the Spirit. They made the meeting tent. And in this meeting tent where God dwelled, the Spirit of God came upon the meeting tent when Moses spoke with him. And then left when he didn't. So they could watch as the Spirit descended and ascended and kept coming back and forth to show that God was present. As we move forward, Moses in the desert was allowed to have 70 people help him with the administration of the tribes. So he called 70. As the 70 gathered, God took the Spirit from Moses, split it into 70 parts, and put it on all the elders. There's a problem. Two of them weren't there. They were outside the camp. But they also got the Spirit. So a runner came back and said, Moses, we have a problem. They got the Spirit and they shouldn't have. And Moses says a phrase we should never forget. Wouldn't it be great if all people were got the Spirit of God? As we move forward, we get to the point where they're in Israel. They build a temple. And in the temple, the Spirit of God dwells upon the temple once it was dedicated to show God dwelt there. The prophets, the kings, all of them, they got experience with the Spirit too. Samuel had the Spirit come upon him, then he could do great tasks for the sake of God. King David, they took the Spirit from Saul and put on David when he became king to show he is the true king. Even the great prophets like Elijah and Elisha had such a profound experience with the Spirit that they could do great things. Elijah stopped the sky from raining for 3 years. He was able to provide food for the widow in Zarephath. He was able to call down fire upon the sacrifice to show that God was there. Elisha was able to summon an axe head from the middle of a lake. Stranger yet. And he was able to cure a poisoned stew. Similarly, he called a she-bear to maul 30 kids. Call it what you wish. The Spirit does the Spirit wishes. Nevertheless, it makes my point. This is the power of the Spirit throughout the Old Testament, a visible sign they could see as they could see it moving throughout what they did. Even Ezekiel had a prophecy where as the people went to exile, the Spirit of God came out of the temple and went east to Babylon. God was never defined by space, so he was going to go dwell with his people wherever they were. This was the joy of the Spirit. Now we get to where gospel gets kind of strange. We have to see it anew. John the Baptist is the proclamation of Elijah. He is speaking with the voice of the Spirit to call people to recognize the Christ. But to really see the value of this gospel, we have to put the pieces back together. It's actually two pieces of a larger gospel, the one that we'll read on Christmas Day, one of my favorite gospels. So it starts where we begun. In the beginning was the Word. That's where this gospel begins. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was this sense from the very beginning that Jesus, the Word, was already there, already creating things, already there with God as he is God. And so as we move forward, the Word was God, and the Word was the light of the world. Then after this saga about the Word and the light, then we get John, who comes and testifies to the light. They make a point in the first part of our gospel. He is not the light, but testifies to the light, showing what the light is like. Then we have a pause between first chunk and second chunk of our gospel, where we have the second part. This light came into the world, and it dwelt among us, The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The climax of the gospel, this moment in which this Word from the beginning that was announced by John, proclaimed by all the people, became flesh and walked among us. Then we continue with our gospel, where John is challenged by the people, where is this guy? Who are you talking about? Are you Elijah? No, I have come that you may notice him, that you may see him, that I can point him out to you when he comes. I am preparing the way that God may enter your life. And the gospel finishes with this proclamation that the Word we've been talking about all this time is God. And a very bold statement. He is God. That's how it ends. So in this way, this entire gospel centers around this proclamation that Jesus is with us, the Spirit is upon us, and there's a joy that comes with that. Here comes our challenge. How do we experience the Spirit? Look at the three great passages we have for today. We have the ending of our passage from Isaiah, our psalm, which is not a psalm, it's Mary's song, it's the Magnificat. And then we have 1 Thessalonians, this beautiful reflection on joy. This is the Spirit. The Spirit alive in us brings joy. It brings these incredible moments. It can bring peace to our lives. It can bring freedom from those trapped by captivity, whether it be sin or the challenge of life. It can bring abundance of grace. There's so many things the Spirit can do, and Isaiah just brings a few of them. Mary continues it. Her joy is by seeing these things fulfilled. The mighty are brought down, the lowly are lifted up, the hungry have everything they need, the people live in peace, and there's a proclamation that God is with us. Do we see this? Do we recognize this? Do we see, like the Israelites did, the power of the Spirit among us? I think for most of us it's quite a challenge, which is why we are challenged today to see the Spirit anew, to recognize the power in our lives when we see God active and alive in our world, healings, miracles, things like that. When you recognize providence and God's Spirit in that way, when you see that peace and tranquility that comes into our lives, this is the proclamation of the Spirit. This is us speaking the same words with John, who says, there he is. There is God in our midst. So I challenge you this week. I have a series of phrases. What I want you to do, if one of them sticks out to you, one of them is a little bit more important, use it as a mantra for your week. Repeat it throughout the week as we invite the Spirit into our lives, as we get to see its power emanating through us, as we get to see God alive in our world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten your faithful. Lord, I open myself up to your grace. Come, Lord, do not delay. Show yourself. Whatever phrase sticks out to you, may it be your prayer for this week, that you may invite the Spirit in, see what God can do, and recognize the joy that God is with us.